Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms here today again. How we thank the Lord for you, and where would we ever be without you? Where would any of us ever be without our moms? It's a scientific fact, you know, that if your mother never had any children, you won't either. Science, got to keep with science. For some of us here this morning, our moms are no longer here, and we miss them, for sure. For some of us here this morning, you are a mom, probably with grown-up children, given the age of our congregation, probably grown-up children, and maybe also with some grandchildren around. For some here this morning, you haven't had the experience of being a mother, but perhaps have enjoyed nieces and nephews and maybe some friends' children along the way that you could you could help with and spoil along the way. But whatever your experience has been, I believe that we all must see the vital importance of motherhood. It is a blessed state that God has given. Consider this. Mom is the woman who has given us a warm place to live while our bodies were developing in her womb. Mom is the woman who bore the pain of our arrival into this world and the pleasure of holding us in her arms. Mom is the woman who cared for us, nurtured us, fed us, patched our cut fingers and skinned knees, worried over us when we were sick or out too late at night. Mom is the woman who struggled through our elementary school science projects and our high school advanced math assignments, who cried when she was happy over some good thing we had done and cried when she was mad over some stupid thing we had done, who laughed to tears at her goofy antics and scolded with tears at her disobedience, who kept watch out for the perfect mate that we should marry and quietly stepped back when that mate became part of our life. Mom has always been there, waiting to help in whatever way possible. We love her and sometimes get annoyed at her because she won't let us do what we want to do. Sometimes we get mad or upset or sad if she appears to not care about us at all. But all in all, there is not a more important woman in our life than our mom. Not sure where I got that from, but I thought that very appropriate. I came across this poem by a guy named Howard Johnson. I don't know if he's the guy of the hotel chain, but this poem was written in 1915. It's also been put to music. The poem is entitled Mother. M is for the million things she gave me. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. That was Howard Johnson's little poem. So just to test out your memory here this morning, a little quiz about moms. I typed into my computer Bible program the little phrase, mother of. I got 27 responses. We're not going to go through all 27, but let's see if you know the answers to some of these this morning. Number one, who is the mother of all living? Eve, correct. Genesis 3:20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Number two, a mother of nations. Sarah is correct, Abraham's wife, Genesis 17:16. How about number three, a mother of thousands of millions? That was Rebecca, said of Rebecca in Genesis 24:60. Number four, the mother of Solomon. Bathsheba is correct, 1 Kings 1:11. Here's one you'll know right off the bat. The mother of Ahaziah. Her name was Athaliah. She was a wicked queen in Israel. Number six, the mother of Zebedee's children. The Bible doesn't tell us what her name is, just that she's the mother of Zebedee's children. Who were her children? James and John. Just a few more. Number seven, who said, "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Sorry, I heard it. Elizabeth, yes. Luke 1, verse 43. Here's an easy one. Say it together. The mother of Jesus. Mary. John 2, verse 1. And then the last one, the mother of us all. In Galatians 4:26, that phrase is used of Jerusalem, which is above, the mother of us all. Isn't that interesting that Jerusalem should have that that title? Well, you did okay. There were others, but we have to move on. The term mother is found 244 times in the Bible. It is an important word. A mother is an important person in the eyes of God and should be in the eyes of every Bible believer as well. And I know around here that that is so as well. The Bible declares the essential necessity and the honor of motherhood. The Bible declares the essential necessity and honor of motherhood. And about this time of year, we always refer back to the fifth commandment out of the ten recorded in Exodus 20, verse 12, which says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The word honor here in our text is a very significant word. Honor even sounds honorable. There's some kind of dignity that goes along with the saying of that term. The Hebrew word is kabad. Kabad. It's a very well-used Hebrew word in the scriptures. It is a special word that takes many English words to try and to communicate the meaning of it. And we see that often in the scriptures. So one Hebrew or Greek word requires many different English words to try and capture the meaning and the sense of it in the context in which it's used. Would you be shocked to know that the King James Bible uses some 25 words or phrases to translate the one Hebrew word, kabod? 25 different English words, depending on the context in terms of how it's used. The most used English word to translate kabod is to honor. 21 times it's translated to honor. And then secondly, to glorify, 7 times we find. And that's a verbal form. The noun form of the Hebrew word is mostly translated with the word glory. 155 times kabod is translated as glory. And then it's also translated as honor 29 times in the Old Testament. Now, literally, the Hebrew word kabod means to be heavy. Heavy in respect to the imposing quantity of things, such as wealth or reputation. Heavy in respect to position and presence. You know, just that the heaviness, the weightiness of a significant person and a position is what kabod really alludes to. So the term honor means to recognize importance, worth, and significance, and then do something that confirms that recognition. Honor thy father and thy mother. We recognize the importance and significance of those persons in our lives, and we are to do something that will confirm that recognition. To honor, then, is both an attitude as well as an action word. Right? It's an attitude as well as an action word. Sometimes kabod is translated to glorify, to greatly respect something or someone by great and multitudinous displays. We are to show that which we honor. To glorify will evidence the honorable position of mom. So the term honor and mother occur together in 9 verses in the Bible. Very interesting. Mom and honor occur together in 9 verses. There are 2 Old Testament references. One is Exodus 20, verse 12, which is the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. And then it's also used in Deuteronomy 5, 16, which is a reminder of what the Ten Commandments are just before Israel entered into the Promised Land. So honor your father and mother. There are 7 New Testament references, mostly in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in which Jesus referred to the 5th commandment in his teaching to the religious leaders of his day. And for an example, you could look at Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. But the Apostle Paul also referred to this commandment as well in Ephesians chapter 6. So open up your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. So the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So here the Apostle Paul is referring to the 5th commandment as he's writing to the Ephesian church. Do we get the point of all of these verses in Scripture? God's command is to honor your mother. Honor which has some actions associated with it that shows and demonstrates respect and glory and importance and significance of this person in one's life. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, must uphold the honor of motherhood as well. So, as we said earlier, a lot of our mothers have gone on, passed away, gone to glory, we trust and we hope. I know that that's where my mom is today, Janice's mom, same, up in glory, and perhaps you as well. And so while we can't practically honor our mothers because they're gone, I think we do have a responsibility to honor motherhood as we see it generally in our world and in our society, maybe even in our churches, to honor the mothers that are still here. We must uphold the honor of motherhood as well. So the scriptures do that for us. They declare the essential necessity and the honor of motherhood. And Jesus never disparages mothers. Remember that one of the Gospels, that the mothers brought their children to Jesus and the disciples tried to shoo them away. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Let them come. And not only was blessing the children, but I think also honoring mothers in that particular instance. Also, secondly, the law provided for the sanctity of motherhood. The law provided for the sanctity of motherhood in these verses. We know what the fifth commandment is, but listen to these ones. In Exodus 21, verse 15, this is what the Lord gave to Israel through Moses as commandment. He said in Exodus 21, verse 15, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Yikes. Whoever smites his father or his mother, you know what the word smite means, slap or to hit or in some way physically assault. "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Hitting your mother is tantamount to capital punishment because they would be executed for doing such a thing. We don't follow through on that one very well anymore, even anywhere in the world. We don't like to put people to death in any case, but certainly not for smiting a father or mother. But that was God's command, and so he would, by doing that, he showed the essential sanctification, the sanctity of motherhood in that statement. Also in Exodus 21, verse 17, "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So you can hit them. If you hit your mother, you're going to be executed. If you curse your father or your mother shall surely be put to death as well. You'd think that kids would be a little scared, don't you, back in that day, of what they did with their mother. Certainly don't see any kind of honor of mothers generally today. Janice worked in the public school system as secretary, and certainly kids did not know anything about an honor to anybody, teachers, parents, or anything. A very sad situation. Also in Leviticus 20, verse 9, we read this: "For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." That's an interesting statement. To curse your father or your mother is on par with shedding blood. You know, if they were to smite and cause blood to flow, even just cursing them is the same as causing blood to flow. Then his blood, that is the son or daughter, shall be upon him, right? And there's no excuse. There's no getting away. You need to be put to death for cursing your father or mother. In Ephesians, in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, verse 2, we read already, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Right? You'll extend your stay in the land. Make it longer if you honor your father and your mother. And when we talk about mothers and parents and things like that, what Paul said concerning Timothy's mother and father always comes to mind. Timothy's mother and grandmother, sorry. So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, my eyes are going crossed here. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother," what was her name? "Lois, and thy mother, Eunice," yes, "and I am persuaded that in thee also." So the unfeigned faith that both grandma and mom had made an impact upon young Timothy when he came along. and what kind of impact did they have for him, this unfeigned faith. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So do you know what Mom and Grandma were doing with young Timothy? They were teaching him the scriptures. Teaching him the scriptures. They taught Timothy that salvation comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They taught him the scriptures from a child, the verse says. And the word child is the Greek word brephos. Brephos, it means related to the womb, unborn or perhaps even a newborn baby. And they modeled unfeigned faith before him as he grew. It wasn't put on. It wasn't fake. This was a real thing that they had and that they lived by and that they taught Timothy probably when he was still in the womb, because brephos relates to the womb. And perhaps you remember when you were starting off a family and wife was pregnant, and we'd often have music going, sing songs, and that baby in the womb, they say, is able to hear. And so you could read stories, and a baby in the womb would pick up on that. I think that one of the reasons why our son Rob was such an active little guy is that when Janice was pregnant, I was playing my bass guitar with the Workman Quartet, and we had been given a nice little small school bus that we converted into a bus to travel in. We were mostly down in the Niagara Peninsula, that kind of area, Hamilton, St. Catharines. And while the bus was nice to ride in together, it was not very comfortable to ride in. We would hit bumps, and that bus would be bouncing along the road as well. And Janice traveled with the quartet up until, 2 months, I think?
1 month.
1 month before Rob was born. So we know that he loves music and would move with it, but we also found out that after he was born, he was always so restless, we couldn't just put him down on the bed and have him go to sleep. We discovered early on that in order for us to get him to sleep, we'd have to put him on his stomach and then pound on his rear end, bounce him on the bed, and then he would go to sleep because he was used to the bouncing in the bus. And it was kind of interesting to realize just things that are learned while still in the womb. And so from a child, Eunice and Lois had been reading the scriptures to Timothy. Of course, when he was born then, they embodied that before him. Paul says, "Thou hast from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Same faith that Mom and Grandma had. So how important is motherhood in God's purpose in his creation? Very important. In fact, very blessed that God has given motherhood. Now, we know that motherhood can be a delight or a trial. That happened yet in your home? So, sometimes teenage years are always a little rough. I don't remember it being that tough with our two, but probably more trouble as they've grown up to be young adults. It's more difficult. But motherhood can be a delight or a trial because of a whole bunch of reasons, circumstances, scenarios. The interaction between mom and kids can be volatile at times and then very sweet at other times. And when you throw dad into the mix, well, There's all kinds of turmoil that could be, or great blessing. But generally, God has designed motherhood to be a joyful experience for both mothers and children and dad along the way. So last, just as we finish up this morning thinking about motherhood, why should we honor our mother? Why should we honor our mother? I have seven reasons. And seven, of course, is the number of perfection. So there's the full list for you this morning. Number one, why should we honor motherhood? Why should we honor our mothers, or if our mothers are gone, just motherhood in general? Number one reason is God says so. We'll start off with that one. God says so. It's a command to honor your mother and father. Secondly, God's word commands it. Right? The word of God commands that we honor our mothers. So those are two of perhaps the most important reasons to honor mother. Number three, because your mother is the one who carried you for 9 months in her womb and delivered you into this world. Took care of you for 9 months while your body was developing in the womb, and so is deserving of honor and respect. Number four, because you should honor your mother, because your mother cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. Right? As a little baby, our neighbors across the road are East Indian, and they're Hindus, so they have a number of really strange, to our eyes and ears, really strange traditions that they honor. So they, last year, was it last year they had Nihon?
It was a year in December.
Year in December. Yeah, so they live right across the road from us. Their living room window looks right onto our front porch. And it's been fun to watch Nihon growing, because they would put him on a windowsill in their living room window, and he would see Janice sitting on the bench on our porch, and he would start waving at her, and they would bring him over every once in a while and trying to get to know us. The dad said that one time that they consider us to be like their parents. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's an honor. I didn't think we were that old, but
he's younger than our children.
Yeah. Anyway, they're very nice family. Very very nice. So now Nihon is walking, toddling along, and he calls Janice JJ, and me, I think, Mr. Bruce is what they are teaching him. So it's kind of fun to see that. But, you know, up until he could start walking or even feeding himself, eating himself, Mom cared for him and provided all the things that were necessary when you couldn't care for yourself. Number five, we should honor mother because your mother has always had your best interest at heart and was willing to sacrifice for her own wishes to provide for your needs. I think that's true of most mothers. A mom has always had your best interests at heart and was willing to sacrifice her own wishes to provide for your needs. Little Johnny was in school. Teacher was teaching arithmetic. Isn't that novel? Teaching arithmetic. And she said, suppose your mom made a pie and in your family are five children and a dad and a mom. She said, how many pieces should the pie be cut into? And little Johnny said, six. To which the teacher responded, Johnny, maybe you didn't understand the question. And Johnny says, oh, I understand the math, but I also know my mom. She would say she didn't want any. So cut it into six instead of seven. Yeah. Sixth reason, because we glorify God when we honor our moms, we show that we love God by honoring our moms, and I think generally motherhood. Number seven, and even if your mom wasn't maybe the best mom a kid could ever have, the divine institution of motherhood is enough that every believer should be willing to honor his or her mother for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. And I don't know what your personal experiences have been with mother, but we do want to honor them for the Lord's sake, because God is the one who has designed the institution of motherhood. So we have learned that the term translated honor here is both attitude and action, and therefore we must hold our moms in respect and honor with the proper attitude. And we can, if your mom is still here, then you can do that to them. If your mom's not here, then generally we can do that for all who are mothers amongst us today. I would really like to have blessed and joyful mothers here at Berean Baptist Church in the days ahead till Jesus comes again. I hope that your experiences of motherhood would be very honorable. And I hope that you all have a happy Mother's Day today. Not only today, but every day of the year. So let's trust the Lord to provide the wisdom and strength to be and do all that we can to uphold the blessed honor of motherhood here at our church in these days, to give every honor to all who are mothers today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the place that motherhood holds within the scriptures, within your plans for humanity, for the well-being of each one. We thank you for that which you have brought together when you first created Adam and then made Eve from his side and brought them together and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. We thank you that you have put all of those things together that we might sense blessing, peace, rest in lives and in our family. We know that the world around us today is really messed up and profaned the whole idea of family. And we just pray that you would help us who know Christ as our Savior and stand upon your word to uphold both motherhood and fatherhood as blessed of the Lord, and that perhaps there may be a new generation that could come along and recognize that blessing as well. Thank you for our mothers today, and I pray that this will be a good day for them. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.